managed to stay awake for 11 days and 24 minutes straight, setting a Guinness World Record. By the way, that has since been broken, which is pretty crazy. Part of the goal was to prove that there were no adverse effects to experiencing sleep deprivation. But, unsurprisingly, Gardner was plagued by moodiness, difficulty concentrating, paranoia, and hallucinations. Years later, in 2007, Gardner also was still suffering the effects of insomnia, to which he attributed directly to his sleep deprivation back in 1963. Bottom line is, we need rest. In our passage today, it speaks of God resting, and we're going to see what that means. And the Bible speaks of us entering into God's rest. And we're going to understand just how important rest is in the Scripture and what, based on this text, and to learn that we can't live without the rest that God talks about. So we're going to pray and ask God to give us wisdom. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you that we are able to be gathered here today. Father, this morning, my heart is so heavy to think of Christians in the world. We heard recently those martyred in the Congo, 70 Christians beheaded. And Father, we have the privilege of gathering in peace and safety and security. May we not take that for granted and be with the families of those dear saints. Father, we just pray for them. We pray for those who committed those things to turn to Christ and repent of their sin. Father, we ask that as we consider what you have given us here on the issue of rest, may we know what it means to enter into your rest. And so guide us now, we pray, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God had rested from all his work he had done in creation." Now, one important thing we need to understand about this section of Genesis, the Bible didn't originally contain chapters and verses. And so sometimes things are positioned a little bit out of place because of that. Because chapters and verses are relatively new. It's only the last, 800 years or so that we've had them. But how this affects our text today is that really these three verses are supposed to be the climax of chapter one. You might think portioned off, it might look like it's a completely different thing. But in Genesis 1, we hear about the 6 days of creation. And we reach the pinnacle of creation, that man is created in the image of God. And then we're told that the purpose of man in Genesis chapter 1 is to steward creation, to be fruitful and multiply. But that's not it. The real point is what lands in these three verses. And you see, he made us to live in fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God made us that way. And the end goal is not just to live to steward creation, but it is to have a profound relationship with God, to be in fellowship with him, that we would truly know him. The book of Philippians captures it so well. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." So when we come to this text in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, you can see that it is a thought to finish the previous chapter, if you will. Because it says that thus the heavens and the earth were finished. It's a concluding statement, not a beginning statement. Now, something unique happens on the seventh day. It tells us that God finished his work. What he had done is that he was resting from the work that he had done. So God creates the universe, and it says there's these 6 days of creation. And in those 6 days, he gives purpose and order to the creation. But have you ever thought about this? What's the one day that he doesn't? It's day seven. And so day seven actually stands out because it's the most unique day of creation. It's not like the other days. And so this is the day that God rests. God pronounces all the days, he says they're good, but it's only the seventh day that God makes holy. One commentator said it this way: last in creation, first in intention. Did God rest from the creating the universe because he was tired? I have put together one of those sheds that have about 8 million screws in them, the metal ones that you put up in your backyard, over several days. To create that shed, I was tired at the end of that. But it would be a complete misunderstanding of the character of God and the Hebrew language to think that this is saying God was tired and he needed to rest. Because the word here is a word you might have heard. It's a root word. It's Sabbath. You've heard the word. And it means to cease from working. It doesn't mean resting like, oh, I'm taking a nap. It means to cease from working. So that's really what God is doing here. He finished creating, so he Sabbathed, he stopped working. God cannot tire. He is God. He has infinite power and strength. When we do something, it saps our energy. But God has an infinite and an inexhaustible supply of strength and energy and power. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." That is the God who holds your life in his hands. So God has ceased from his creative activities. And when we read Genesis, we can say, well, then the seventh day stands out because the other days he's creating, this day he Sabbath. He stopped. He ceased from his creative activities. And he set the day apart as holy. That's part one. Part two of this is that what would the Israelites have understood when they look at this? See, it's important to understand what the first audience, how they would have reacted to this. They were not unfamiliar with the idea of rest because they had been commanded by God to observe a day of rest. When God gave Israel the Ten Commandments, the longest commandment is on observing the Sabbath. And if you look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day," the day of ceasing from work, "and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On that day you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So we need to remember that, yes, the book of Genesis happened historically first, but they would have been experiencing the things before they were written. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So you got to understand, the book of Genesis was composed with the Israelite audience in mind. And us, because it's God, and he could communicate his truth across every generation for all generations. But they would have understood this idea of rest. And they had already experienced delivery from slavery, the Passover, and now God ties to the Genesis account a day of rest, a command for the Israelites to stop on the seventh day. It's called the Sabbath. As I said, it's the same root word used in Genesis chapter 2. It was so serious for the Israelites. This is what Moses said about it in Exodus 35. Moses assembled all the congregation of the people of Israel and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. 6 days shall be work shall be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day." So for Israel, this was a very serious thing. It was a day of worship. It was a day of rest. It was a day to remember God as their creator and as redeemer. It was a day of refreshment for body and soul. Think about it. Sometimes these things come up. God wants to give people rest. And think about the Israelites who had been oppressed by Pharaoh. Do you know what Pharaoh actually said about them having rest? He actually said this in Exodus 5. "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." And God says, "That is exactly what I want." Pharaoh did not want the people to have rest, but to remain slaves who mindlessly work every day. On the other hand, God institutes rest for burdens. Because the correlation is clearly explained, God gives us in Exodus, these 6 days of creation, the seventh day is a day of rest, just like I created the world in 6 days. We don't have to wonder what he was trying to say. It's explained to us. The Israelites were to cease in their work. And again, what does it show you about the Israelites? They were not made just to work, work, work. You know, God calls us to steward creation. God calls us to live in this world. But there's more. Pause. Time out. Pay attention to me. I'm God. The point was, they were to fellowship with God on a holy day. God set the day aside for the Israelites so that they wouldn't lose sight of the one who made them and saved them. It was not intended to be business as usual. And so you can imagine the Israelites' comprehension of this creation account in Genesis. You know, they're building this tabernacle, and the tabernacle is where, you know, God's presence will come to meet with them. And in that tabernacle, you have the high priest ministering. And in that tabernacle would be the lampstands lit. And they knew that there was this holy day of worship, the Sabbath day. And then they would know and read Genesis 1, and they would see the tabernacle of creation that God had made and the stars lighting the tabernacle of creation. And there was this holy day of rest that God instituted right from Genesis chapter 2 here for fellowship with him. So that comes, let's bring this into, where does Jesus fit in all of this? One of the questions we should be asking ourselves is, what are the implications for us as Christians, as the church, on a personal level? You know, Colossians says this about the Sabbath. On Colossians 2 says, let no one pass judgment on you in questioning food and drink or with regard to a festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath. Then it says this. It's very interesting. Colossians 2, verse 17. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. The Sabbath was a signpost, a shadow of things to come, but the real point is that the substance belongs to Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 says this, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Whatever the rest of God is, it is tied directly to Jesus. We are not bound by the Old Testament form of ritual. We don't observe animal sacrifices, for example. Why? Because Jesus Christ shed his blood once for all. We don't need animal sacrifices. But we do not. We may not observe the form, but we observe the function of the law. In that, I mean the spirit or intention of the law. We still obey the point of that law, but we obey it fulfilled in Christ. We don't shed the blood of animals, but Christ's blood was shed for us. The blood of the animals was the shadow of things to come, but the substance is fulfilled in Christ. Now, since everything is fulfilled in Christ, there's a deeper meaning here. We're not bound to the Old Testament law, but we still need worship and fellowship with God. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me, all who are labor and are a heavy burden, and I will give you what? Rest. Rest. There's no accident that these things are said the way they're said. True rest is found in Jesus, and it's not just physical labor rest. God made a day of rest that was holy, intended to acknowledge and worship him, to be in fellowship with him. And we can only conclude that the Old Testament Sabbath was to point to Christ. The ultimate rest is found in him. This is not mere physical, but the resting of your works in trying to save yourself. Because self-effort does not save anyone. You see, we trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, his shed blood, his resurrection to save us from our sins. It's not our work. It's his work. Ephesians 2 says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. So the holy rest is intended to point us to our need of Jesus Christ. We're to turn from our sins, to confess Jesus as our Savior, believing that he died and rose again on the third day, resting from our works of unrighteousness and trusting in Christ's perfect sacrifice. But the rest does not end with salvation from sin, but a continual time of worship and refreshment is essential for every believer. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. But then it says this, and forget not all his benefits. It is so easy to forget about the Lord and his benefits when you grind out the daily life, isn't it? Do we need to gather on Saturday like the Israelites? Well, the answer is no, because our Sabbath rest is fulfilled in Christ. We covenant to meet together on Sundays because that's what the church, the early church, did, because that's when Christ was in representation of Christ's resurrection. And it's the day that we come together. But we're not bound to the Sabbath of Israel. But we are to follow the point. We're to know Christ. We're to observe a Sabbath of worship and rest in Christ, the mediator of the new covenant in his blood. That's why Hebrews 8:6 says, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. Christ is the fulfillment of it all. The universal reality is that everybody needs to enter the rest fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, a spiritual rest that can only be obtained by grace through faith in Jesus. It's a gospel call. The good news is there is rest for every weary and burdened sinner out there. And that rest is in Jesus Christ. Every tongue, tribe, and nation. But I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, please, because it's important for you to see this. Hebrews chapter 4 really gives us a good explanation. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 4 says, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." Listen, listen, listen to God's word. "For we who have believed enter the rest, as he has said, 'I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works." And again, in this passage, he says, "They shall not enter my rest." That's Psalm 95, by the way. "Since it therefore remains for some to enter it, and for those who formerly received the good news failed to enter it because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterwards, in the words we already quoted, 'Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.'" That is our plea today, that you would not harden your heart. Sadly, many of the Israelites did. And that you would know that you weren't made just to simply stop working in this world, but you were made to worship your Creator, to know Jesus Christ personally, to have a relationship with Him and the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. That is true refreshment. Hebrews chapter 4 says there in verse 9 says, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has rested from his works as God did from his." So if we obey the pattern of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and the law of the Old Testament in observing the Sabbath, but fulfilling it in Christ, then Christians know that they need to spend time in worship and fellowship with God. It is essential for our spiritual well-being. And by the way, one of the things that we sometimes like to do is make this all about me, right? It's, what is this saying to me? But there's actually a call that spiritual rest would be corporate. And by corporate, I mean as the body of Christ. Have you ever thought that it is your responsibility as a Christian to help others engage in rest, spiritual rest? The Bible tells us this in Hebrews chapter 10. It says this, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Then it says this, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Oh, how amazing would it be that Christ would return and catch us worshiping. Our lives are meant to be lives of worship. But we need to worship together, to stir one another up, to encourage one another, to live for Christ, to live and do good works, to enter the rest of God through Jesus Christ. It is, you know, this morning I was quite moved listening to you sing. It is our great privilege to gather in prayer, in singing, in the Word of God, baptisms, communion, missionaries. And on a personal level, do you take time to worship God? Let me just suggest to you, first by knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, then intentional worship. One of the things that I think is very hard for us to understand, you don't come to church and flip a switch and turn on worship mode. It is a life cultivated in worship. If you spend time with God all week, if you spend time refreshing your soul and your heart and your mind in the Word, in prayer, singing to Him, when you come in here on a Sunday, you will truly experience the majesty of worship because your heart is prepared. Sometimes we say, I didn't get anything out of this, but I would wonder, did you have any sense of preparing your heart for worship? We are made to know Jesus, to be in fellowship with Him, to live a life of worship and service, gathering with the saints, and enjoying God. Did you know that here's the coolest thing about worship? The older I get, the more I think this is true. Enjoying God. It is a real privilege to enjoy God forever. So, Let me just come to the conclusion this morning that we need to enter a holy rest, not just to be here. You know, and listen, some Sundays the victory is just getting through the door, okay? I do get that. But we come, do I really enjoy worshiping God? Am I all in? Is it meaningful? It snowed recently, and I don't know about how bad it was here, but in Beamsville, we got a fair amount of snow. Now, I like to believe in my mind that I still have all of the capacity that I did when I was 18, in my mind. And I get out there, and the snowplow had been by a couple of times. Get out there, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to clear this off. Yeah. Cleared off all that, you know, walk away. Yes, I did it. All that heavy, heavy snow from the snowplow. And then later on, I'm like, Kim, my arm hurts. And being very manly about it, of course, you know. But my shoulder was driving me crazy. I didn't like that I'm punished just for doing something like that, right? Good old bodies. But one of the cool things that I have the privilege of is I have four sons. And they went out there. And they shoveled the snow. They got the snowblower out as well.
They were running it themselves, moving the cars. I didn't even need to do that. They took care of it all, and I'm watching from the window. This is a beautiful thing. This is why you have children. But you know what? I honestly took great joy in their work. And why do I put myself through so much pain sometimes? And I think about that with God. And the truth is, sometimes we try so hard in the wrong ways. Instead of trusting in the work of Christ, instead of being grateful for what he has done, for soaking that in and coming to him. And you know, when the boys cleared off the driveway, it just reminded me, I was just grateful for them. And the only way that I can be grateful for Jesus Christ is if I spend time reflecting in worship and spend time with him in his word and in prayer and singing mightily that the devil might be crushed. Oh, we want the devil to have a black eye, don't we? Because of our praise, because of our worship. Rest is good. And let me say this, the shoulder feels better, praise the Lord. Maybe you've suffered some hurts and some wounds, but resting in Jesus does bring healing. Psalm 95 says this, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth and the heights of the mountain are also his. The sea is his, for he has made it, and his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah. As on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work for 40 years, I loathed the generation and said, these are a people who go astray in their heart and have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray that we would know the true rest found in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that we would also take the time to worship, to praise, to fellowship with you, and truly enjoy that. And Father, I pray that we would also have a burden to help others do the same. And so as we continue on in this service, may we rejoice in our great God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.